Our second scripture reading for this morning is from Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1, 1 to 4, and then 2, 1 to 4. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Dear God, we thank you that you are with us this morning for the things that we are learning, the ways that we are experiencing you here. We pray that now, as Keith speaks, that we would experience you in a new way as well. Please give him words to speak. Please give us ears to hear what your spirit is telling this morning. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Adam. Good to see you all this morning. Some of you had to swim to get here, but you're here. Or at least the ones we know about are here. Mennonite Disaster Service probably could be busy right around here in the Utica, Doldville area. They're having some serious flooding issues there, roads washed out. My wife was able to get where she was going at Peck Lake, north of Albany, for a little reunion with her sister-in-law and a couple of others. Don't know if she'll get home or not, so I'm glad we have fellowship dinner today. I will stock up and we'll be good to go. I did something this week that I haven't done in over 2 months. Studied a lectionary passage, and that's helpful for me to do. The way we came into doing lectionary preaching here at the church, this is a little bit of a bitter memory for some of us, but about 10, 12 years ago, when we were going through some difficulty, it wasn't unknown for the speaker that day to preach at us and give opinions on the situation that weren't always easy to hear. A request went up that preachers, if they would talk during that time from lectionary passages, which are written each week for the church at large, there's usually 4 passages for any given Sunday. And I started doing that and have learned it's a great discipline. It's helped me in a couple of ways. First of all, it takes away some of the pressure of picking a passage. And if I pick a passage, people can't say he's only picking that because of something I did last week and he's preaching at me. Well, blame the wider church for the lectionary passages. But it also has especially helped to learn about passages that normally I wouldn't look at. And this is one of those cases with Habakkuk this morning. I'm glad Adam pronounced it Habakkuk. I was trying to decide how to pronounce it. Since he pronounced it that way, I'm going to do the other way. And then one of us is going to be right. We don't know which one. This is a significant book in Scripture because it asks that same question that so many of us ask. A man by the name of Rolf Jacobson, who's done some writing on this book, he thinks you're all saints. He says, when have the sainted people to whom you preach ever heard a sermon based on God's timeless word to Habakkuk? Well, this week is their chance. Do not let them down. So with an admonition like that, I had to pick this passage. But I would have anyway, because I remember what little study I've done on this passage. This is the question. It's the same thing that some of the psalmists ask, particularly Psalm 73. It's the same thing that Job asks. Why do innocent people suffer? Why are things so bad? How long are we going to have to wait till God steps in and heals us of whatever affliction we have? Or how long will it be till he makes himself known to us, till justice comes down and things are set right? This is a question that the people are asking during the times of Habakkuk. So these minor prophets, as they write, there's almost always some significant part of their writing that goes down through the ages. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, the Apostle Paul is writing and says, "It is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the one who is righteous will live by faith." And in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "It is the righteousness of God that is revealed through faith. For faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith." Well, that sentence, "the one who is righteous will live by faith," comes from Habakkuk in that second part that Adam read. And Martin Luther often quoted this, "the righteous will live by faith." Well, sometimes you have to have faith when your circumstances don't seem to be indicating things the way you'd like to see them go. And so we have this question that we are facing, why difficult things are happening to us. What did we do to deserve that? Who's being punished here? Whose fault is this? And those questions go on and on in our heads. And I would guess that because of our human condition, all of us have experienced at some point that feeling of distance and difficulty as our lives stumble at some point. We're stuck in the middle. We're in this bracket between which the believer and the unbeliever live, and because of that, we face some of the very same difficulties that anybody lives, regardless of our faith. And that can become a difficult question to answer. Why do bad things happen? I'm not going to be able to answer that for you this morning. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I do claim good company, because if Habakkuk couldn't answer this question, and if the psalmist couldn't answer this question, and if Job couldn't answer this question, who am I to think that I'll be able to answer this question? I wish I could answer it. I'd be famous, and Pastor Appreciation, the gifts would just pile up to the ceiling, which they already have, by the way. Thank you again for your generosity. I'm humbled every time this comes around, especially when I can't answer questions like this one. So it helps me to understand a little bit of what the Bible really is for me, and perhaps we all interpret it differently, but I do not interpret it as a rule book, and a lot of us do. It would be so easy if everything was just set down in black and white and it was easy to understand. And so some of us bring that desire to Scripture, and then we try and mold that into a form that we can count on all the time. It's always going to happen this way. I guess there was a controversial play in Game 6 of the World Series where a runner was called out at first base and there was a big argument and the manager got kicked out of the game. I didn't see it, but I heard it on the radio driving back from where I was that night. And the commentators on the radio were saying, "That's the rule. It's a bad rule, but it's the rule." And the umpire was calling it according to the rule. A lot of us would like to see Scripture that way. If it was just clear enough that the certain rule could be followed. Well, the Bible isn't that way, at least not to me, because there are things that are said in one place that seem to conflict with what is said in the other. And in order to understand these two opposite poles, this stuck in the middle part where we are, it's necessary to understand what's happening at the time that leads people to say what they're saying at that particular point. We don't know the historical context that Habakkuk was writing in. It's a little bit unclear when he lived, but we're guessing it was probably during one of those times of captivity, Babylonian captivity, when there were a lot of evil kings that did not do the will of the Lord in their leading. And it talks in the book of Habakkuk about the evilness of the king at that particular point in time. It would be easy, and there is preaching like this, that if you live your life in such and such a way, God will bless you. And if you live according to the precepts that God has set down, you will prosper. You will be healthy. You will be wealthy. That's never really worked for me, and this church is no different than any other church that I've been in. It does not seem to have worked for a lot of us. It doesn't quite lay out that way. But it would be so much easier if it would lay out that way. And so we spend a lot of time trying to decide, what have we done wrong? And Habakkuk is asking that question. How long are we going to have to wait? What have we done? Is there something here that we've done? I've always taken encouragement that Job's three friends, when they accused him of doing something wrong, that got them in trouble. A lot of big trouble. So if you're in a difficult position in your life, and somebody else is telling you, well, it's happening because you did this and this and this, and if you would only do this and this and this, it would clear all that up. Know that God himself is probably not real pleased with that advice that you're getting. I don't know if that helps you or not, but to be able to explain everything to a T is in the presence of a rule doesn't work for us. So what does work? How can we understand a little bit better God's presence in our lives, even when difficult things are happening, even when bad things are going? Well, one of the things that helps me to know is that God is at least listening. Doesn't always say a whole lot, but he's listening. How many wives here have said to their husbands, "You're not saying anything. What's going on?" And the husband says, "That's because I'm listening." You believe them? We better not go there, but that does seem to be a communication difference between how the two genders of the world go about things. But God is always listening. He's hearing us. He does not turn his face away from us. There was a film on television last night that I watched, Harlan County, USA, about the strikers in the coal mining industry and how difficult of a time it was in the early 70s in that part of Kentucky. And they were having these public meetings. And I thought of it as I watched this documentary, they'd call the meeting for the purpose of the people in charge to listen to the concerns of the people. And some of the people would stand up and just rail and say nasty things. And I was watching that and think, well, why don't they stop that person? Well, it was part of the setup of the meeting to let everybody have their say. And then the leaders of the meeting had to respond in some way. Their response wasn't always what people wanted to hear, but at least they had that much going back and forth. We do have that much with God. He is listening to us, even if we think maybe he's not. Because in chapter 2, verse 2, Habakkuk says, "The Lord answered me and said." Now that's interesting. Apparently, Habakkuk could get an answer. The problem is the answer is a little bit fuzzy. We can't quite figure out what's going on. Job had the same thing. It was Job who says, "I will question you, and then you can question me." Or did God say that to Job? No, I can't remember. At any point, Job and God started having a conversation. God responded to Job's questions. But then as we read the response, it's almost like God was talking about something completely different. Well, that shows the inability sometimes, as we're stuck in the middle, caught in this bracket between the believer and the unbeliever in the world, it shows the difficulty we have of sometimes understanding the breadth and depth of the whole situation. And so when God does answer us and presents something for us, it might seem completely beyond what anything we would have thought of. So there are just a few things to mention. And the first thing the usher said to me when I walked in this morning, the ushers are always the one who keeps the preachers in line in this church. "We're already an hour behind schedule and we're hungry, so don't talk too long." So this is my conclusion for what we can learn from the book of Habakkuk. I'm hungry too, by the way, especially hearing how much dessert's down there. First of all, presence is so important, even if we don't get the right answers. I used to dread hospital visits when I first started in ministry. I wasn't sure why that was, but I think it's because I felt pressure to always fix everything. What if they ask me a question I can't answer? It turned out that I was usually blessed by the person I went to visit more than they were blessed by my visit. Just our presence with each other. In the book of Job, when his three friends come and sit down with him, their presence would have been enough, but they decided they were going to try and explain things, and things kind of went downhill from there. So just being present with someone in their suffering is a good thing to do. And God does that for us. He is with us. God meets us in our suffering. And when he meets us and we listen, we will always learn something. It might not be the answer that we wanted. It might not be what we considered to be the situation. But very often we will learn something out of that. And because of our human condition, And because we are stuck in the middle, sometimes what we learn is a valuable thing to hear, and it might have been way beyond what we would have thought. I thought of this as I was finally cleaning out some old material from my desk the other day, and I came across something I had saved from the newspaper. If I were to ask you what the divorce rate is today, is it up or down from where it was about 20 years ago? What would you say to that? Or if I would ask you about the marriage rate, is that up or down? Some of you are going to get this right because the preacher's always asking trick questions that you get an answer that you didn't expect. But according to this article, the divorce rate right now is the lowest it's been in 40 years. That doesn't preach very well for the preacher who wants to really lay it on you. 16.9%. It was a high in 1980 of 23%. Some of you might say, where's this 50% number we keep hearing? Well, that's a question I have. Where is this 50% number? That has been a bad number from the beginning. In 1980, there were 1.2 million divorces and 2.4 million marriages in the country. 1.2 is 50% of 2.4. Boila. And I realize I'm pronouncing that wrong, but that's always how I've done it. 50% divorce rate. Well, there's a flaw there, and it's pretty obvious. What about all the marriages up until that point? But somehow that has taken hold, and I just heard it again last week. I don't recall who was talking about it. I think it was in a personal conversation about how difficult marriage is. After all, you've only got a 50% chance of success. This is one of my favorite words, hogwash. It's not that way. But anyway, reading this article, 16.9%. That's still too many. That's lower than it has been. Praise the Lord for that. How many of us actually give credit to our supreme being for statistics like that? Well, maybe that's because so very few people are getting married. That must be it. And given how many choose to live together before marriage, and that's working its way into the church a little more, it'd be easy to think that. However, the marriage rate's on the way up in the last 5 years. It's sort of creeping back up now, higher than it used to be. All that to say is sometimes what we think we know, we don't really know. I had a whole bunch of other examples I was going to give that way, just in case I had extra time. Thankfully, I do not. So thank you, Paul and Dave, for sharing. What a blessing it is to be able to send out people and these relationships, this presence, if you will. Sometimes that's all we need. God's answer to Habakkuk was, keep the faith, keep depending on me. And we learn from that our faith is the strongest when it's consistent through good times and bad. So I'm grateful for Habakkuk. This is the only time in the three-year cycle of the lectionary passage that Habakkuk shows up. So come back in 3 years to the day. I'll be talking about this again. Don't forget it. Okay.